After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
Now, one of the great aspects of Christmas, especially when you are young, is that element, isn't it, of surprise. You go to bed on Christmas Eve, you know what you want. You may know what you want for your main present, and very often you get your main present. I remember our parents were very, very generous to us. We usually got what we asked for. But often it was the other presents, wasn't it, that were so much fun. You hadn't any idea of what you were going to get, but your parents or others, your families, would have thought about what you'd like. And you haven't really thought about what they're going to get you. And you open the present and you go, "That is just fantastic. I didn't even know I wanted it. Now I see it. It's just great to have it." And even when you get older, you get presents like that. My wife's sister was absolutely brilliant at buying presents. I learned to just love what she gave me. You know, you'd be really excited because she'd just choose something. It really surprised you. Well, for the next few moments, I hope that for some of you at least, there will be an element of Christmas surprise. You may have come this evening just to sing carols. You may have your own ideas about Christmas. But I hope you leave here this evening going, wow, this whole thing is just beyond my expectations. That you will, in some way, this evening, experience something of a Christmas surprise. And we're going to think about these readings from Matthew's Gospel. I want to draw your attention to what I think may be for us three Christmas surprises. And the first is that this birth was supernatural, not normal. It was supernatural, not normal. I think this is worth pointing out because in many people's minds, what happened here just must have been a normal birth, about which big stories have now been made up. And I guess for many people the reasoning goes like this. Yes, there was a person called Jesus. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. But in the end, it must have been a normal birth, a child conceived in the normal way. But let's go back to Matthew's Gospel and to see what he reports. And we see, don't we, from our second reading, if you want to turn to that, from Matthew 1 there in the middle of our service sheet. We see that this birth, God was acting in a very, very special way. You see that in verse 18 of Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 23, it says, the virgin was with child. It was a virgin. She was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. It's made clear. And virgin births just don't happen, do they? And Joseph knew this, and he was understandably horrified. In his mind, there was only one possible explanation. And that may well be the same for you. There is only one explanation for pregnancy. They didn't have the medical technology that we have now. Pregnancy just doesn't happen. So Joseph resolves to divorce her. He's a compassionate man, so he looks to do it quietly. But he's told not to, isn't he, by this messenger, this angel. But can you see what this section of God's word does for us? There is a God. There is a Holy Spirit. There are angels, spirit beings. There is a whole unseen realm. And there is a living and a true God who with this birth is doing something very, very special. This birth happened because God acted supernaturally. God intervened. At one level, it's a surprise, but it shouldn't surprise us, really, should it? It shouldn't be a surprise that when God came into this world, it was just a little bit different. And when he left, it was a little bit different as well. It's, we would expect, wouldn't we, the entry point of God into the world to be different and his exit point to be different. When the President of the United States comes to the UK, it's different, isn't it? He is someone special. Some of you I know work for the airlines and be able to tell us the details. I don't know the details, but we'll never see him, will we? Coming in economy class, queuing with us to get our bags, having to go through security and all the hassle that takes 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't know how many hours it'll take tomorrow, but to get through an airport. He comes in the special one in a special way and he leaves in a special way. And so here we have, as we look at this account, a supernatural baby, fully man, but God acting. So the first surprise is it's a supernatural birth, not normal. The second surprise for some of us is that this is truth, not myth. We're dealing here with truth, not myth. You see, at this point in the proceedings, you may be going, yes, yes, yes. Sure, God came to earth. Yeah, well, that's just not likely, is it? This is just myth. The Greeks have their myths, their gods. A myth is a made-up story. It's a legend without any basis in history or in fact. And it's easy to say, isn't it? Well, this is just myth. This stuff about your God coming to earth is just your story. It's the story that your community has made up and has adopted. There's no real reason why I should believe this about a supernatural conception and this birth. Now, of course, there are long answers and there are short answers to this sort of question and issue. But let me just point out a couple of things which I hope will help you as you think about this. Firstly, what we have here in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, is basically records of eyewitness accounts. It's written like an eyewitness account. And we know it was written by those who were very close to the events. My wife and I have the privilege of having 4 secondary school age children, and we sit down together in the evenings and I always ask what has happened at school that day. And sometimes they come home with very, very dramatic stories. Bones being broken, awful things happening, exclusions, you know, the sort of normal school life. The teachers will be able to relate to that. But the first question I want to ask them is, did you see it or is that the rumour? Because we know what it is with stories in schools and any closed community. You know, if they've got first, if they're eyewitnesses, then, you know, it really probably, we've got truth on our hands here. It gives you a different level of confidence with the information. Well, here you see what we have recorded for us in Matthew's gospel is basically eyewitness accounts written by people or spoken by people living at the time. The second thing I want to show you as we think about the fact of it being truth, not myth, is a really striking piece of evidence that is here in this text here, in our third reading. And again, you might like just to turn over to that, the one that Kathleen read a few moments ago, before we sung Silent Nights. This reading from Matthew 2. It's this whole issue about where Jesus was born. Because that these magi, as we heard, came looking for Jesus. They came from the east. And the star had got them so far. They knew that there was going to be a king of the Jews was being born. And the star had informed them of that. And they did the logical thing, didn't they? King of the Jews is going to be born in Israel. They came to Israel. King of the Jews is going to be born in the capital. They went to Jerusalem. King of the Jews is going to be born in the palace. They end up talking to Herod. And you can sense in these verses, can't you, by the way, the kind of commotion that's going on in Jerusalem as these visitors come from the east, these wealthy men asking the question, where's the King of the Jews being born? What King of the Jews? Where's the King of the Jews being born? And King Herod calls a conference of the wise men in Jerusalem. And he asks the question, where is the Christ to be born? Where will he be born? And they have an answer, don't they? There in verse 6. They're sure about where he will be born from verse 6. It will be, from verse 5. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. You see, they were absolutely sure that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Why? Because they knew that 700 years prior to this, the prophet Micah had spoken, and that was our first reading, saying, and it was God speaking through Micah, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And they knew what God said would happen. God said 700 years previously he would be born in Bethlehem, and they knew he would be born in Bethlehem, and that's exactly where he was born. And it's an extraordinary way these Old Testament prophecies come true in history, in real time. It can't easily be dismissed, can it? We're dealing here with truth, not myth. The third surprise is that Jesus is essential, not optional. Jesus is essential, not optional. You see, this was a supernatural conception. We're dealing here with something that is true, but that still leaves us with a huge question. And that question is, so what? So what? Maybe it is true after all. Maybe there was this supernatural birth. But we can ask the question, can't we? Do I need this? Do I need this? Well, we need to think, don't we, for a moment about the importance of this and whether we do need it. And again, we are not left guessing. Come back to our second reading from Matthew chapter 1. See, the clue as to why we all need this is in the name that the child is given. Unlike parents today, and really through parents of all the ages, Mary and Joseph have no choice in the matter as to what their child is given, the name that their child is given. We've had a couple of births this week in the church here. We're just absolutely delighted about it. Kurt and Rachel Adamson have had a baby daughter, Evelyn. And the Sleeps have had a little boy called Nathaniel. Lovely names. Nathaniel means gift of God. I've discovered Evelyn from the Hebrew means light. And we hope that those children will prove to be a gift from God and light. But Mary and Joseph are told there in verse 21 that they are to give this child a name. You are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And he's to be given that name because that's exactly what he will do. There in verse 21 of that reading, because he will save his people from their sins. The name he was given was the very thing that he would do. He would save the people from their sins. He would be a rescuer. This week has seen an awful tragedy, hasn't it? As the boat carrying refugees was wrecked off Australia's Christmas Island. And I don't know if you've seen the footage of that. It's very, very harrowing. And a good number of people have drowned. And I looked at a clip on the BBC website, and it was interviewing someone who was trying to rescue them. They're throwing life jackets in. And this man said, I just wanted to dive in and save them. I just wanted to dive in and save them. But there was no point because it would have been suicide. Well, Jesus the rescuer dived in to save them. He came into this world and would die upon the cross to save us, not from drowning, but if you have a look there in the verse, he will save his people from their sins. We have a problem from which we need saving. It is the sin problem. King Herod, of course, illustrates the sin problem. He wanted to be in charge of his life. He didn't want Jesus in charge. He would try and get rid of Jesus. He said, I just want to run my life in my own way. That's sin. Saying no to God, I want to run my life in my way. And that brings us under God's just condemnation. It's a real problem, the sin problem. We may not feel like we've got it, but when we say no to God, live in our own way, that is sin, and it brings us on the collision course with God for judgment day. But Jesus came to save us from that sin problem, from that condemnation, by dying upon a cross for us and taking the judgment which we deserve upon himself. And it's essential, not optional, because we are all sinners and we will all face the judgment of God and we all need that rescue. And that rescue is open to us. So how will you respond? How will you respond to this Jesus who was born in this remarkable way, God come to earth? It's true and it's essential. How will you respond? Well, notice there are a number of responses to Jesus' arrival in our passages. Herod is furious. He tries to get rid of Jesus. He won't have anyone challenging him. And people do respond like this to this news. They are just furious. No, thank you. Get rid of it. I don't want him interfering with my life. There's another common reaction. The people in Jerusalem. And I think this is what struck me this week as I've been looking again at this passage. These magi come to Jerusalem and they say, where is the king of the Jews? And there's a big conference and they work out, yes, they go back to the Bible, he'll be born in Bethlehem. But as far as we know, it's only the magi who actually bother then to go down to Bethlehem. Isn't that extraordinary? They come looking for the king of the Jews, they know where he's born, and they can't even be bothered to go and check out Bethlehem to see whether it's true. To see whether a king has been born. Please don't be like those people. Can I encourage you, please, to check it out? We will, after Christmas, be running a Christianity Explored course. It's 4 evenings of just an hour and a half. Reuben, who was leading the service, will be leading that. And that is an opportunity to find out, to ask any questions that you have about the Christian faith. It doesn't matter how simple or how obvious or how offensive the question is, just feel free to come and ask it and discuss the issues to find out whether it's really true. I have cards, speak to myself or Reuben if you'd like to find out more, and that begins on the 12th of January. Don't be like the people in Jerusalem, I just didn't follow it up. But there's a third reaction, isn't that? The third reaction is that of the Magi from the East. They went, looked, found Jesus. And Kathleen read to us how they reacted when they had found him there in verses 10 and 11. When they saw the star, this is the third reading, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. They found him and worshipped him. That's the right response, isn't it? And will you do that? Will you do that this evening? And the right way to do that, as we recognize that Jesus Christ is God, he is God's Savior, and he's worthy of our worship, is to come to him, not in the same way as the Magi did, but come saying, yes, I need rescuing. I see that he is the Savior who died upon a cross for sinners. I cannot save myself. I need his salvation. I'm going to trust in him and follow him as my king. Will you do that? Admit that you are a sinner, that you need saving. Recognize that he came to die for sinners like you and me. Cry out to him, then put your trust in him and follow him as your king. And you will leave here with the most amazing gift. The gift of forgiveness, of salvation, of being in a right relationship with God. It will be, if you do that, your best ever Christmas. Let's just take a moment of quiet. We'll sing again now our final carol. Hark the herald angels sing. It's a great carol reflecting on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all that we have in him. That third verse, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Let's just close by praying. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and we thank you for the great things we have been reflecting upon this evening. And we pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.